So this is the first message in our Blessed series, and the Blessed series will go 6 weeks. This is an introductory message, and then each week we'll focus on one of the letters in the word bless. The idea is that we have that mission. Do you remember when I preached the series on the Great Commission, that we were called to go and to make disciples of all nations? This takes this to a different and more attainable level. It's kind of scary. If I said, how many of you are going to meet me outside after church today and we're going to go around, we're going to evangelize the neighborhood? Okay, there might be two or three, maybe. But most of us go, oh, no way, I'm not doing that. This curriculum from the denomination is a way of understanding that that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is relationship. And so we are to reach the lost, we're to restore the broken, and we're to reproduce disciples. So we are disciples making disciples who make disciples. That's the mission, the Jesus mission, that we are given. And each week we're going to focus on stories from Jesus' life and his mission that help us to understand how we are to live out that mission and how he blesses others and he blesses us so that we can bless others. This passage that Ken read, Genesis 12:2 says, I will make of you a great nation. Hey, somebody comes in here and says, I will make you a great church. Well, you already are. But you're going to just have 2,000 people in worship. I'm going to make you into a great church. Isn't that great news? And they stop with that. Well, it's not enough, is it? I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be a blessing. So what is a blessing anyway? What's a blessing? Wow, nobody knows. What's a blessing? Something that makes a person's life much better. What else, Lynn? Edifier, building people up. Okay, so what is the blessing that we offer as followers of Christ? Everlasting life and everlasting love. We are hungry for that love. This sermon series, there's one available to me to model my messages on. This is not something I do very often because, you know me, I can't stand the box. But this is a man named Dave Ferguson created a sermon series. And so just know I want to credit him for that I'll be using some of his things as I go. So here's a question. What's on your to-do list tomorrow? What do you have to do tomorrow? Betty's laughing. What do you have to do tomorrow? Go shopping. You have to go shopping. What else do you have? What do you have to do tomorrow? You got to go to work. Yes, but you have to go to work, right? Anybody else have to go to work? Sure. How many of you have to go to school? Have to go to school, whether you want to or not. You have to go to school. So, well, actually, this isn't spring break, is it? Oh, good. That wouldn't have worked to say, no, I don't have to go to school. What else do you have? Anybody have doctor's appointments? Okay. What else do you have to do? I like that one. I like that one a lot. How many of you have to work on your taxes? Okay. Okay, so those are things you have to do. Maybe you have to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Maybe you have to go and have your car repaired. There's just a long, long list. There's an author by the name of C.S. Lewis. Are you familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, that series, right, with Aslan and so forth? Well, he wrote a lot of wonderful books, and one of them is called Mere Christianity. And he said, each morning when you wake up, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. But, well, and it's like, yeah, but how many of us have wishes and hopes rushing at us? When I get up in the morning, it's like, oh my gosh, I need to do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. And how much time do I spend going, my wishes and hopes? This was a week of being blessed by our denomination and conference. I met with Howard last week, I met with Craig, and I met with this team. And every single group encouraged me to dream. Dream about what this church is about and what God is calling us to do. We don't spend enough time, because I realized when Howard was the first one to say it, I haven't been doing that. I've been surviving. I've been excited about different things, but it's been too small. It's not the big picture. What would life be like if that's what we woke up with? Lord, oh, I wish I could do this. I hope this happens. I hope I get to do this for you today. Pretty incredible. Lots of people have long lists of to-dos. I have an app that is probably less helpful than maybe it might seem, where I have a to-do list. And that list haunts me. And if I don't get it done, what do I feel? Guilty. I feel guilty. So, but that how-to list, that to-do list, is it fun stuff? Your to-do list, is it fun stuff? Yeah, I see. No, not so much. A lot of times we live in the land of same old, same old. Would you agree? You get up at the same old time. You shut off the same old alarm clock if you had to set one. You have to walk into the same bathroom. Look at the same old face and it's getting older in the mirror. Get in the same old shower. Dry off with the same old towel. Maybe a different same old towel now and then. Put on the same old clothes, walk down to the same old kitchen, eat the same old breakfast, drink the same old coffee, kiss goodbye to the same old spouse. Then you drive the same, I knew you were going to go there, George. have to drive the same old car down the same old road to the same old, same old, same old. Same old, yes, I'm seeing a lot of nods. We know what that feels like. You get home to the same old house and the same old food. And then you go to bed in the same old bed. And the next day, same old. Again. I don't want the same old, same old. I don't want that. We have an escapee. I don't want the same old, same old, and nor should any of us. Jesus was not same old, same old. In fact, he came to destroy the same old, same old. It's like, no, this does not have the heart and the spirit, and therefore, it's not worth doing. It's not worth doing. Frederick Buchner said, I have passion. I have passion. Passion, and this quote is one I've always loved. Our calling. Do you wonder what your calling is? You have one, you know. Our calling is where our greatest passion meets the world's greatest need. Let me say that again. Our calling is where our greatest passion meets the world's greatest need. Where that intersection of passion and need is your personal mission. It's the same as we look at the church, but it's your personal mission. And over the next 5 weeks, as we go through this blessed series, I'm praying that each one of us discovers a passion, a mission so great that we have to do it. Not that we want to, not that we might, we have to do it. Because if we don't, it'll drive us crazy. It'll harm our spirits. There's a story in Scripture about Jesus, and many of you have heard this story, but some have not. Jesus had to go, in John 4:4, through Samaria. It's interesting because he didn't have to. To get where he was going, he didn't have to go that way. These two had an adventure yesterday as they came to Orange. And the GPS took them this way that I can't even figure out what it was. But they're describing, they arrived at Johnson's Farm from the opposite direction that I've ever gone. And I'm going, I don't know how you do that, you know. But they made it. But this morning, they took a different way. And they came in relaxed and smiling, and it was wonderful. It's like, that was the way we were supposed to come. Jesus could have gone where he was going without going through Samaria. In fact, Jews avoided going to Samaria. Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. It made me think of George and how he feels about anyone who's not a Patriots fan. You don't hate them. I know, George. You just dismiss them. I learned this as I came here as a Seahawks fan. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. However, I am, as the people back in Seattle say, oh, Mary, you're going over to the dark side. Because I really do like rooting for a winning team. It's kind of nice. But Jesus didn't have to go through this country. No, he had to go because of someone who was waiting there that he needed to meet. And he needed to teach what her mission was. All right, let's see, Bible scholars. Anybody know what the story is? It's okay if you don't. Betty often can answer, yes. What do you think? Perfect! Perfect! The woman at the well. So do you remember the story? The woman is at the well. Jesus comes and asks for something to drink. He enters into a conversation with her, and he tells her all about herself. He tells her that how many times she's been with people, with men. She's been married how many times? Do you remember? She's been married quite a few times. And the man she was with wasn't her husband. And she was flabbergasted. And this is where he says, the water I give, you will not be thirsty again. And what does that woman do? She runs back to the town and tells everybody all about this. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? He told me everything about myself. There was no way he knew that. Jesus had to go to Samaria so that this encounter would happen. This woman is perfect as an example of what BLESS is about. That as soon as that good news is received, she had to go and share it. There's a sense of urgency in that. Jesus treated her with dignity. He loved her. They had a theological debate by the well, and he didn't dismiss her. He explained to her what she didn't understand, and it changed her life. What makes this so important is that we understand there is a mission that we have to do. A long time ago, when I was doing some studying on calling, one of the things said was, find the thing that you cannot not do. Think about that one. That's kind of confusing. The thing that you cannot not do. I know double negative. Don't preach at me about grammar. But I love what that is. If I don't do it, Paul says in one of his writings, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. He had to. He had to. My prayer is that we will come to that point where each one of us figures out what we cannot not do. In this sermon illustration that this fellow wrote, there was a story that talked about someone who was in a situation where they didn't have a lot of power. And they changed an entire country. So let me share this with you. The man's name was Wael Gonim. Did I say that right? I don't know if I said that right. Wael Gonim. And he was on Time Magazine's cover in 2011 as the world's most influential person, you know, the man of the year thing. Why? Because there was something inside of him that looked at the poverty, the lack of good education and injustice in his country of Egypt. And he said, I have to do something. As a techie who worked for Google, he began to use the gifts that he had. He spoke out through Facebook and Twitter. And it was his single voice that history now tells us catalyzed a revolution that ultimately brought freedom for him and millions of others across his country. It's an amazing story. His last tweet simply said, mission accomplished. Thanks to all the young, brave Egyptians. Was this his to-do list? It was his have-to list. If one man, and there are other cases of one woman, can bring freedom to an entire country through using his Facebook page for mission, imagine if our whole church said, it's not good enough for me to know the mission. I have to be a part of the mission. I have to be on mission. So one more question for you. What is the mission statement of Mission Covenant Church and leadership team? Shh. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Let's work it out together. It's part of it. Okay, so our first job is to know the mission statement. Mercedes, are you discouraged? It discourages me. Work it, work it, Mercedes. Yeah, well, I want you to know it by heart. Because that is the stated mission of this church. And it's pretty important. Don't you think the first part is following Jesus? Hello? Hello, following Jesus. That's foremost. And then inviting and then making friends. We are called to that mission. You all worked on that for a long time, as Mercedes shared with me when I first got here. We are to be on the mission of making that happen. We're not going to settle for anything less. And as we get to bless, I want to look back and to have each of you, that doesn't mean I'll make you do it, but I want every one of you to have a story about your personal mission and how God used you by the end of this year, a long time, because that's what it means to bless others. Okay, got it? All right, would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, make us have to do something. Don't let us be satisfied. Don't let it be the same old, Lord. Keep us sparked with your Spirit that we can go forward and we can make a difference for you. Our personal mission, whether that's at school, at work, at home, wherever we are, or whether it's the church's mission. Lord, help us to live into that mission and to develop our own stories that we can share with one another and be encouraged. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this chance we have to walk this journey and over the next 6 weeks. It's in your name we pray. Amen.